Just very quickly run through a sequence of what we said at the end of the last year about what you can rely in regards to the various coolest leniencies in regards to Bedika. Now, I know obviously that nobody here wants to do any leniencies in regards to Bedika. Everybody wants to do the Bedika as much as you can do it according to the old fashioned way. But there is an argument that you could say that the areas where a person has cleaned thoroughly, and while he was cleaning, has obviously looked to make sure that there's nothing there. You could argue maybe that at least each drawer, as it's being dealt with, to take out the drawers, you take the drawer out and have kavanah l'shem bedika. It's like you're doing it in the light which is there. Again, we're looking for a Cheerio. A person, there's no cracks and crevices, so you should be able to find any Cheerios which are there, something of that size. So a person could rely on that bedika. So that's a person could either do the chachila, a bedika, those things, and earlier nights, do all the drawers, etc., and earlier nights, as opposed to leaving it to the night of your dalet, and that's the chachila. As long as you leave something for the night of your dalet with the bracha. Or a person can, taking it a step further, we could say that the process of cleaning it will function at some level of a bedika, and therefore when you do the bedika the night of your dalet, you just go through those areas very quickly and just make sure that they actually have been cleaned, touched, etc. Subsequently, I found that Rosh Hashanah Zalman actually would rely on that. And what he would do is he would come to the room during the Badika. He would ask specifically if that room was, he felt it was called Tzarecha Badika. He would ask the people, the members of the household, was this room cleaned? So he wouldn't ask a general question because he felt that was more specific to ask in each place that he got to, relying on this swarm. Once that was part of the bedika process, was the mivara that the room was cleaned properly, and then he would do a quick havara around there, and that was sufficient. Either one of those is what to rely on. Obviously, the person is, again, he's checking a minimal area, and there's not a tremendous amount of effort involved, so the person can do. Even if you're checking for the size of something the size of a Cheerio, if you're the ability to check that is fairly quickly. You can sweep through a large area fairly quickly. It's not overwhelming. The real issue is the cracks and crevices. So if you know there are no cracks and crevices, you look quickly to see if there are any cracks and crevices, and you go right through. Okay, that is just the last point in regards to Bedika. One thing I do want to point out, Bachrim which live locally or are here locally, they should do the Bedika on their dorm room in Yadalah or the Bracha. Or they use the Bracha they say there, can use it over here, but they shouldn't. There's no reason to do a Bedika early. You can do a Bedika on not a Yadalah. Bachrim. Right. Okay, I want to go through some halachos of kashering. Obviously, the areas which are most nowadays, we're not so involved in kashering utensils for Pesach. We have knives, forks, spoons, these type of things, bowls. We have all of those things. Usually, we are affluent enough that we can afford to buy a separate Pesach, special separate Pesach. Some people will still kasher Kiddush cups. They don't have enough bechers, so they're going to kasher their bechers. That's not uncommon. But the real area we're looking at kashering is that you're looking at dealing with countertops, you're looking at dealing with sinks, you're looking at dealing with the stovetop, you're looking at dealing with the oven. And those are the areas which you're looking to kasher. Just maybe go through some of those. Okay, so start with the oven. So if you have a self-cleaning oven, that's Zolke Benstein. Marsha held that self-cleaning oven approximates the halacha of Levin Gomer, which means, like all shittas, you would be able to use a self-cleaning oven. It's important to point out two areas in the self-cleaning oven is that the gasket, which is there, a person should clean out under the gasket. The gasket doesn't get that type of heat, and you don't want any chametz sitting there under the gasket. The person should be cleaning out under the gasket. You can, lift it up and clean, make sure that that's clean. And Rav Moshe said, in regards to the door does not get to the same intensity of heat inside of the door as the rest of the oven, and therefore he would suggest that even after you self-cleaned it, either you should be covering the door from the inside, or alternatively you should be careful not to put anything directly on the door. In other words, you take some of these people, use the door as a place to put things down on. You shouldn't be putting any items down directly on the door. And he seems to prefer that, you know, even with that being said, he says he prefers to cover the actual door. There shouldn't be any problems of any type of bleeds in the door going back into the oven.
No, this hasn't changed in the last 15, 20 years.
Interesting. I was looking at Rabbi Forrest this morning, and he actually mentioned this psak for Moshe in regards to not putting items on the door still. So I'm assuming that it still has that issue.
My oven, I noticed the door does not get clean when I separate stuff on the door still.
Right. So it is. So the door should be covered. Obviously, the problem with covering, you can't look inside to see how your item is doing. But anyway,
you should cover when you're doing something.
No. Some afterwards. When you want to use it. Okay. So that's if you have a self cleaning. It's not a self cleaning oven. So Ramosha says that we can't get Liban Gomer by a non self cleaning oven. It doesn't get to that temperature. But Ramosha says since the main usage we do with the oven is there's not direct contact between the food and the oven, so Liman Gomer is not really required on our ovens nowadays, as opposed to the ovens of Chazal where they were baking directly on the walls, etc., where you would need Liman Gomer. Our ovens do not need Liman Gomer. And he says an oven which can hit the broil, which is 700 degrees, that's equivalent of a Liman Kal. He does point out, Liman Kal, there's a Shulchan Aruch Rav which says that Liman Kal, the main thing is that Liman Kal is that it says you should be able to put Kash, which gets to that point, should be Nisraf. That's a way to indicate that the temperature, the heat, goes all the way through the walls. It's not enough to heat it up inside, it has to go all the way through the wall, which is there. So, she says that's the main thing the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, is that it should go through to Shnei Evorim, which we do have. If you put a person puts on its highest setting for up to an hour, it will definitely get to that point. That Ramosha, actually, interestingly enough, Ramosha holds that says the main way you get a bli is through Zeya. The way when you get a bli through into the oven is through the items which are sitting there, and then the steam goes up and gets absorbed in. So Ramosha holds that when you want to kosher an oven which is not a self-cleaning, you part of the koshering process it should be putting a pot of water in there and having Zeya come out. Kabbalah Kachpolta, you'll be using the Zeya, even though we don't kosher through steam, we do, in a place where you need Hagola, etc., you can't use steam, but we hear the whole problem was the Zeya, so Ramosha does require that also. A lot of places I spoke to do not require that, but that Ramosha adds that connection. So a person should first clean the oven. Any ban which is there, a person should make sure that he gets it off, or at least cleans it twice with some type of an oven. Cleans it once an oven cleaner, if it's still there, there's spots which are still there, you do a second time. The person, then you're sure that whatever's left is like, it's nifsel from Achilles Kelev without any shilas, and you hit that temperature, you're fine. Okay, that is, if you have a continuous cleaning oven, ask a rabbi.
What about waiting 24 hours?
You should wait 24 hours in the oven. Self-cleaning doesn't, if you, according to Ramosha says he holds the self-cleaning gets to the point of Lima Gomer, so then you would not need 24 hours. There's a question which is raised, which is that a oven, this is all talking about a metal oven. If an oven which has an enamel layer, do we deal with enamel like cheris? We deal with enamel like cheris, so if it's a self-cleaning, again, you're okay. If it's not a self-cleaning, so then the merchant holds that it's not a self-cleaning, you have a problem with enamel, he says that therefore you should be covering the walls. So you don't have any issues of bleed. The alternative to covering the walls is using an insert. There are some places who want to come along and say that the enamel, first of all, it's not the enamel which is used, it's not clear that it's like it has only ferrous. And it's a very minimal layer which is there, which they put on a very minimal layer, so maybe you could say it's bottle to the metal which is there. There are starting to make also. If you see somebody who, you know, was doing it didn't necessarily go against, out, you know, with placards and making announcements that it's, but if a person wants to, the best way of doing it, that would be the best way of doing it. The way I see it now in this, the Shemaita de Moshe, they're quoting it from Moshe. I looked up the place again. The person says he heard it from Moshe. It's not
he
written.
Says he heard it for that.
Yeah, yeah. So Rabbi Ida said he heard it from Moshe.
Also, the enamel is it donned as a plastic, or I mean, are we talking about Rabbi? Is the enamel is clearis or
no? The problem, well, enamel is again. Even porcelain and all these things are not the cheres that the Mor is talking about, but they're clay like. It is a clay like substance, right? So, okay, the stove top. So, if you have regular gas, the area where the gas is coming out, the fire is coming out, it's not a problem. The bib that's around it, you don't want any foods there because you cause issues of zeya, etc. From there, you should clean those out and replace them. You can replace them or you can cover them. The grates itself, so I can tell you what Minig Svardim is. The Minig Ashkenazim, you can pass in your Minig Svardim, there's some coolness of Minig Svardim with that, but in regards to Minig Ashkenaz, what?
Some coolness.
Okay. I think, besides Moshe Chaim, we're dealing with Ashkenazim over here. So Minig Ashkenaz is, we do kasher the grates, we do need to kasher the grates. So if it's a gas, so if you have a self-cleaning oven, you can put them with the self-cleaning cycle and that will kosher them. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, so you have two choices. You can actually, using obviously some flame retardant, heat-proof oven mitts, you can hold the grates over the fire itself, each piece, to get it to the point where you're going to be aiming for Liebman Gummer, which means it has to glow slightly. The best way to do it is in the dark, because then you can see that it glows, tells it when it, because in light, you can't tell. It has to get a slight reddish glow. You do it piece by piece. Alternatively, you can make a tent. When I gave this aid to make a tent, last time I did this, I forgot to point out to somebody, you should don't do all four burners at the same time, because you can ruin your stovetop. If you make a tent, to get heavy-duty aluminum foil, you make a tent over the burner so it keeps the heat in, and you turn the burner on full blast, it'll heat up the grate which is there. Don't do all four burners at the same time. You can, you know, melt the and make sure that the foil, which is obviously going to be absorbing the stranded heat, shouldn't be touching your plastic, etc., knobs, etc., if you want to have your knobs after Pesach. For Pesach, don't...
Very scary
what? You do one at a time. It's not overwhelming. Just do one at a time.
If it's not shy of the tropical lights, how long generally will you get to?
I don't know.
Because you don't see. What about this enamel that's on these things now? Like I tried taking a torch to it once. Nothing. I mean, it didn't.
If you do it in the dark, I think you can get
You'll see something.
Even the enamel, like,
even
the enamel.
Yeah. There's no like set time.
Not that I'm aware of. Okay, so...
is there a reason to be macro with the fact that it's enamel to keep it covered throughout these grates?
Well, it's either living gum or no. Now, if you have an electric stovetop, so you just turn them on, and that gets you to... They glow, and you're done with. That's living gum. The area in between should be cleaned, and best thing to do is just to cover it. If you have some of these fancy glass ones which you can't cover because it keeps the heat and it causes the glass to break, etc., ask a rabbi what to do with that. It's not so partial. Okay. The counters. So unless you're dealing with a metal counter, if you're dealing with a metal counter, a wood counter, or a true granite marble counter with no sealants on it, etc., you can actually kosher the counter and use it. Otherwise, you're dealing with anything else, you can't, you know, the best thing to do is to clean it and then cover it. If you're dealing with a metal counter, you have to clean it off well, and you would do eerie on it. So we'll talk about how to do eerie and get to the touch with the sink. And the same thing with all the other ones. Wood counters, if a person would have a wood, you know, actual wood counter, as long as there's no cracks or crevices, it's a smooth counter, you can actually kosher the counter also wood is kasherable. No, it's the same problem with the seals. Yeah. Okay. Sink. Let's talk about the sink. Let's talk about the sink. So if you have an enamel sink, porcelain sink, etc., so it's not kasherable. So the best thing to do is to clean it out well, and you do a kashering process for it anyway. But then you should not be using the sink as is. You should be using some type of an insert, which would not be touching the bottom of the sink, and that would be your cover it and use an insert, and you're great. If you have a metal sink, yes.
We have a porcelain sink. Last year, I don't know if it was one of those Stark ACRC booklets, it said to use an insert, line it, and use a wrap on the bottom. Is there a reason to have so many?
No, you don't. The lining is, is makes sense. And the insert also, I think, the fact you have an insert, you might have an insert if it's not directly touching over there. If you have an insert, you don't need the rack. If you have the rack, you don't need the insert. Right. If you do it, but two of the three you need. Yeah. Okay. Metal sink you can kasher. You want to kasher the metal sink, so you want to kasher the metal or the stove, the countertops. It should not be used anything hot for 24 hours before you use it. So the best thing to do on that, in case you're worried about somebody inadvertently turning on the hot water. So if you turn off the hot water valve below, so the hot water is not coming up, for 24 hours, there's no hot water which has went through there, and it should be clean. We're going to kasher it the same way that the bleas go in. The main way the bleas go in is through the hot water which is being poured out of the faucet, which is irrecreation. So you're going to kasher it with the kettles, pouring water over it. Now there is an issue, which is in Shulchan Aruch, there's machlokes and halacha. Do we look at Rav Tashmish? The way you kasher it, the normal way that it goes in, that's the way you take it out. What about if I have the majority of the Tashmish is one way, but a minority of the Tashmish I've used it a different way? So can you rely on Rav Tashmish, or do you have to be chashed for me at Tashmish? The question being, since there's a famous marshal, the marshal says that a davar gush has a din like kli rishon mamish. So if you ever had any type of hot chometz fall directly into the sink, so now your mi'at tashmish was not with iri, but was with actual kli rishon. So you need to kasher it in a way which approximates that. We are machmer on mi'at tashmish also. Cases where that's not shayach, you can't have to do that. There are cases where maybe we're makel. You have to ask a personal shayla on that. In regards to the general, we're machmer on miyat tashmish also.
How would it be shayla?
How would you do it, lemaisa? We're getting there. We're getting there. So let's do the normal process of iri, and then let's talk about how we could possibly get to get beyond that. Anytime you do hagola, iri is a form of hagola, so it has to be clean, it has to be 24 hours, it hasn't been used with hot, it has to be dry, so you want to start with a dry sink. And you need the water which is going in, the water should be, by hagola, the water has to be boiling, and then when you put it in, we'll talk about that, it has to be, get back to the point of boiling. Obviously, iri doesn't have that temperature, because it's off of the fire. But there has to be direct contact of the iri to every single spot. I can't pour on one side and let it just run over the whole sink. I have to cover the whole sink, spot by spot. I tell you, which you end up needing more than one kettle, probably, of water to get through. Now, what type of kettle could you use? You want to kasher your chametz to the sink and make a paste with it. So you can use a paste of the pot. You can use a chametz of the pot, which has been used for 24 hours. It won't make a difference. Either way, it's fine. If you were using a pesach pot, obviously you want to be careful that it shouldn't be touching the part which has not been kashered yet. But you can use a pesach.
What about the zeya coming up?
Once you kashered it, it's pesach. So the zeya is coming from the right spot, that spot that you hit. And so a person would then pour over the bottom of the person would pour over the bottom of the sink, moving carefully to make sure you cover every single spot in the bottom of the sink. Person has to cover, should be doing the faucets, the handles, and that the area which holds the faucets, etc. That area should also be covered with irui. You should try and get the when you're doing irui, and you want it to be directly connected back to the irui. So when you pour around the faucet, so the water runs around it. That's pasha. That's sufficient. You know, it's not. You know, I'm just pouring on the bottom. You know, so there's. I saw one sefer suggested you have to splash up, well, from below. I'm not sure exactly how. Sounds dangerous. Right. You know, how are you going to do that without nifsek kiluach? I don't understand. But you're pouring it from the top. As long as it's still, you know, in general, it's going in through that. Now, interesting point. Once you've had 24 hours and you've not used hot water, you can use hot water again. You know, it's not till you're kosher, you can't use hot water. You can't use hot water for 24 hours. Afterwards, the hot water is not a problem. So, theoretically, you could argue the aerator, which is at the end of the faucet, should be removed, cleaned, and better to maybe put a new one on for Pesach. You can run hot water through it at the same time also. Well, so you're cashing it from inside and out. I said Rabbi Forrest suggests you should do that. It's interesting. I never thought about that. It's an interesting thought.
So an aerator doesn't have to be changed?
I think an aerator should be changed. Because there's splatters over there. You can't really... This strand is very hard to clean it out. He says this way, you're getting the heat is coming from inside and out, which approximates the Kabbalah Kapolto.
Oh, as you pour it, turn
it on. Right. Now, the size of the sink also have to be kashered. So you have to make sure. The size of the sink, the argument is very that the idea of mamash putting something hot there to heat it up, you don't need iri sufficient. There's a Madani Shmuel which says that you should do the iri from bottom to top. The argument being, if you do the top part, so the water's running down the side, that water is be touching the part which has not been kashered yet. It's hot, and you have this connection of this water connecting the part where you just kashered, the part where you didn't kasher, the hot water. You start from the bottom and you go up, the only place where the water is touching is the area which has been kashered. So you should go up the sides from the bottom up as opposed to the top down.
Well, if that water can come back in? Yeah, if that water can put bleeds back in, then even in the muffin where you're pouring, that should be a problem.
When I cash it directly, so everything came out. When it goes back in, it's not a problem. But I didn't cash it directly over here. I cash it up here, and over here it's just the water's running down. That's not cashering. You have to cash. You have to pour the water right there. But it is hot enough to make argument that it's connected, and you're connecting the bleeder there from there. So that's what he said. But it didn't go in through that. It's hot enough to take it out. But it doesn't mean that it went in through. It went in through a direct hit. It didn't go through a clearition, iri clearition, which is running on top of an item. I understand. I would definitely tell you, but the evidence kosher. But they don't. I hear
that
argument.
Happens every time you kosher anything. Please go. I mean, that's the whole point. So it doesn't matter if it goes back.
But you didn't do a kosher. You didn't do a kosher hechsher. But that's his argument. You didn't do a good hechsher there yet. So it's not that everything was taken out and put taken out. But right now it's sitting in there, and you're directly pulling it out from pot A to
pot. Pot over, it comes out into the water and back into the pot. And doesn't matter.
I understand. When I take out the full tom and it goes back in, that's fine. But here, some of the tom is still inside. There be yisur. That tom which is in there is yisur. When it goes out, it goes back in, it's bad. That's his argument. You kasher the sides also. Now the bottom, where you have this kashash that you actually have, so there's an idea which is called, you have two eitzes. One eitze, if you have a sink which you can close, so you can close off the sink, put hot water in it, and take a hot stone into there. It'll get to the point where it causes the water to boil. That's klirishin. A little bit scary. That's the eitze they used to use. Evan Malubin. They would heat up take a rock and put it on the fire to heat it up till it's hot, it's very hot, and stick it in. It will do that. If you have a sink which you can't close, Alternatively, they have commercial immersion heaters, which do the same thing. You can close it up, put it in. Now, I once looked into them. There's two problems with the commercial immersion heaters. Is number one that they usually run on the 220. I don't have a 220 in my kitchen. Number two, the amount of energy they pull would probably blow my whole house, every single circuit of my house. And number two, they're quite expensive. But in Lakewood, the Moshul in Cleveland, there's a guy who invested in it. He got it and he rents it out. You know, so you can. And he found some way to get like two lesser ones, which run the one on the 110, combines it. I don't know the whole cheshbon, but you can actually get that option. We don't have that here in Silver Spring. What?
You can probably get ones that are expensive.
You checked all over the place. They're not. They're there. They are quite expensive. $300. You know, it's $300. The cash from my seat for Pesach. I'll use 11 malumen already. the other eitzah which you can do is instead of it's closing it off, is to take a smaller type of a stone, etc., and move it along as you pour. Have the hot item there, so you're pouring directly onto the hot item, directly onto the sink. So the water is being reheated by a heat source itself. It approximates a klirishon. Now, the person said that this is not the same thing as klirishon ala eish mamish. When someone needs full hagola ala eish, you can't use this eitzah. But something which you need this better aid, so you can do that. What I actually do is I got from the hardware store. You get some bolts, or, you know, the big bolts, they're nice and thick and big. You heat them up. You can hit by four or five of them. Put them on the, one of the burners, and they get quite hot. They get quite hot. You use the tongs, and you move it along. So it's. And then when that one starts to cool off, you put that one back and you take the next one. You use two hands. You're moving with one hand, you're pouring with the other hand. You know that's quite hot because when you put the water there, it sizzles. Like, you know, you hear the zzzz, and as you hit it, and when it stops zzzzing, you know, you change to the next one. And the water's pretty hot to start with. Yeah, it's quite hot, you know. One year I had a problem. You have to be careful, just be aware of it. It started melting on some of my electric burner. That's how hot it was. So the metal the bolt started sticking, and I pull it off. So I realized it was getting quite hot. So it definitely is an eitzah.
I mean, if you don't know whether double brush ever fell in your sink, should you assume that? Okay,
it's definitely what to be saying that you don't have to. Okay, now interesting point over here. We said that the sink has to be dry, which means that. While you're pouring with one kettle's worth, you know, that's all process of pouring back and forth. You don't have to keep drying. But when you put that kettle back and you're ready to do the other half that you start with should be dry. You should take a towel and dry out the other, you know, any water that's splattered there, etc. The water should, in general, the water is not going to be staying unless you close up your sink. The water's going to be running down. It's quite hot. It's going to melt. It's going to evaporate very quickly. So it's pretty much going to be dry, but the person should be aware you should be able to dry. You have to remember the sink, also the top lip of the sink, which goes over the rim of the sink, which goes over, also has to be kashered with irui. Just an etzatayv kamash malon. You want to put some towels around it to catch all the water which is pouring out. You want to put a towel there to catch that. Okay, counters. Okay, now regards to counters. So if you're dealing with counters which are either metal or wood or granite, not granite composite, but full, you know, bona fide granite with no sealants, or the same thing with marble, you can kasher them, and you kasher them with the same process of irui. There is an argument that since people who use granite counters, especially they have a designated place, they'll put a pot directly down on the counter. So there, your mamish, the argument for Evan Malubin is stronger that your mamish putting the kli down, that you should need an Evan Malubin over there. Even though there's no water, but you know, the question always is, obviously there's some point in time in the bottom of a pot, could be moist, could be some moisture there. Most people will not tell you they're careful when they put the if they have a designated fleshig area, and they're not mocked to dry it off before they put it down. In the case of some water, they're going to put it down. So the argument for Evan Malubin is much stronger in that situation. Somebody asked me a halacha shayla about using a steamer. they have a machine which like puts out steam, and can they use a steamer to run it over the area, is that acceptable? Because they'd heard, what? It's like, well, it looks like an iron, but it looks like a handle thing with a little wide, narrow, and you looks like you just it comes out and it produces steam. You run it over. So they use, they tell me that, commercial kashering, they use it. The correct way to do it, commercial kashering, I don't know what the commercial kashers do it, but, at least is to do the following, is if you want to do it, the eights of, and Rabbi Sanders concurred with this, and also I spoke to Rabbi Hirschman and Cleveland, also they both, the H is not to use steam. We have in Russia the clear psak and the tshuva that when somebody goes into water, steam does not take it out. The H is to put water there and use the steam to boil the water that you have a heat source boiling up the water on the spot, so that approximates like a clear region. That's the H. So you put a frame around to hold the water in, put a thin layer of water which is there, and then you run the steamer slowly over that area to heat the water up to the point where it's boiling, and then it approximates that you're dealing with a kilo to cremation. That is an eighth. If a person wants to do that, a person could do that.
Iron work the same way. Put an iron over the water.
Yeah.
We got a kumkum, one of those little water heater things, and just had it plugged in and poured it directly from there.
It's still eerie. It'll be eerie cremation. It's not cremation mamish.
Why isn't it cremation mamish?
You have a cleavation and you're pouring. That's what a cleavation means.
Rabbi, when doing the Eerie on a countertop.
One second. Now, so whenever you're doing the Eerie over here, you have to remember you want to get an Eerie which is loynifsaka kiluach. Don't pour and turn the thing up and then the water falls down. You're pouring and there's a direct connection between the cleavation and the water which is going on. After you finish all of these things, there's a lach l'chavchila of rinsing off with cold water. So now rinsing with cold water doesn't have to mean necessarily you pour cold water all over the place, which is one option. You can take a towel which has a towel and just the goal here is to get all the liquid off. It shouldn't reabsorb back inside. Even if it does, mikra din, it's a not by not by not. At this point in time, which mikra din is mutter over here, so that but there's a chachila if you can, that b'riyah, whatever he says, it's not ma'ashim.
It'll also reabsorb before you even get there with the towel. So that,
I'm sorry, how quickly does it have to do that?
It says, so the case over there when you do hagola, so there's a miri which says it has to be right away. Which according to miri, each section that you do, you kasher it immediately to cold water, dry it off, kasher, it's like, each thing, according to Miri, kashering a sink is a very long process. Not the short process without the Miri. The Mice of the Mini Garden is not like the Miri. But you can take a towel. You can use the process of, just a towel drying it off will accomplish the
second person right there behind you.
Just have to be careful because it's hot water. You should have something, say, you should have a good glove on. Okay. That's sinks and counters. Yes.
So just practically speaking, if you're doing Eroy on a countertop, Rebbe said that when you're doing Eroy, you should be, it's not enough that the water spreads out, but it should be directly on.
Right.
But when you're pouring, the water's kind of like spreading out, and if you're going along the countertop, you're going to be pouring on part of the countertop that already has water from a place that you poured on before that had spread out. Is that
it's. I'm not sure. As long as when you get there, there's a direct contact between the water that you're pouring. Even though it normally has to be dry, but there's a direct contact between. As long as you don't stop that kiluach, it's still all that same process. I think you can be makel on it. That's the mile of the steamer would take care of that problem. Dishwashers. There's a lot of different things written about kashering dishwashers. Some of the more recent swarm I think I'm more comfortable with. if a person ever has to really actually clean out a dishwasher and go through the process of removing all the B'en which is in there, and even inside of the jets in different places, particles get inside there because the thing flies around, etc. My wife was able, you know, of course, it's my wife, right? So she's able to open up over there. She found the end inside of that the jets rays, etc. So unless you're, you know, willing to do that level of thing, don't kasher your dishwasher with basil. Just don't do it. Commercial dishwashers are a little bit better. They're much more open. They're larger. They're more accessible. They're metal. You know, they're a little bit easier than regular dishwashers in the house. The dishwashers in the house. If it's the only place is a havmina to say you can kasher it. Remember, the kasher, the point is like this. So you can kasher it by cleaning it out thoroughly and then running through a cycle, preferably with some type of a cleanser. One second. So, but A, it's only if it's a metal inside as opposed to some type of a coating inside, and you have to change the racks. So, which, now the racks cost almost as much as the dishwasher itself. You want to get new racks. The dishwasher, you can get a dishwasher nowadays for $400. Racks cost about $300. So you want to get new racks. Once you get it one time, you can put them away for Pesach every year. Right? And that's kula haibu ulai, that you're able to actually get all the ban which is in there. So, wash the dishes for a few days. Okay.
The sink question. What about the spray hose that you have on the side of the sink? Is that comparable? Usually they have plastic.
Let's see if we'll get to that. Okay. What about kashering other items? You know, besides that. So in general, we're not getting involved that too often because we can afford. To buy new items. But again, if a person needs to kasher something, certain things definitely are kasherable. One of the areas which is questionable is plastic. So Mersha, you know, the way the Velt understands the Mersha Shubas, and you know, I see now in this the Schweitz and the Mersha, I think he has quotes from David. That's sort of, that, you know, that the question is, we know the Kli Cheres is not the Mor says that you cannot kasher. It does not yet to meet the day of the Olam. It always stays in there. It comes out slowly. So it's always, there's no way to get it all out one time as opposed to kashering what we do. What's the status of plastic? So Ramosha seems to, in one place, Ramosha seems to say that you cannot kasher plastic. Well, he seems that you could kasher plastic. And basically what he was saying was that in regards to Pesach, we're machra not to kasher plastic. In regards to the rest of the year, he seems to be saying that you could. Now, Rav Henkins at Sal held that you could kasher plastic, and therefore, a person came and asked me. He looked at, you know, again, if you look at the different websites and the different kasher organizations, they tell you what you can do, what you can't do. So, of course, one says you could, one says you can't. You know, they said one says you could is following Rav Henkins, one says you can't is following Rav Moshe. You know, otherwise, it gets very confusing. So, but it seems to be. It seems to be pretty much a kumul nowadays, not the kasher plastic. That also means Teflon. So, you know, those type of things you want to kasher, but Teflon is a polymer, it's a plastic polymer. So if you want to kasher the plastic item, so we don't do that. Now, what about the sprayer? So the first glance, you can't kasher the sprayer because it's plastic. The second glance, maybe there at least are some say that you could kasher it because there's no real contact. You know, so you can clean it out thoroughly, that there's no ban on it, which I have to tell you is very difficult, unless you're a person who cleans it weekly. Get everything out of it is very hard. Theoretically, you could kasher it. Now, how would you kasher it? So since they stretch, I saw one sefer says if your head stretches till your stovetop, so boil a pot of water and then submerge the head into the stovetop, into the pot of water. But now it's interesting. Eitza, first of all, you know. Anything which will get damaged, potentially get damaged by Hagola, we don't do Hagola on because we're afraid the person won't do it thoroughly because he's scared about it getting damaged. So I don't know what the Messias of these things is. I would wonder if they could withstand the heat of sitting directly on a pot which is on the fire boiling water. Once you can wonder about it, you're gonna be chos in it. So I'm not sure. You know, the other eights would be to do Ray Forrest's idea. You know, run the water, have it spraying from the inside, and pour, do iri all over it. Make sure it gets every single spot. Like hold it this way, so the iri directly onto the plastic. I personally cover it up and don't use it for bezel. I just seal it off and don't use it for bezel. Okay. If a person does want to kasher, let's say bechor or something of that sort, so the meaning is when we kasher for Pesach, you either use a chametz pot and you kasher it first, you kasher the pot itself first. Where you kasher a pot itself is also the Evan Maluban. You heat up water inside of it. But you don't need the Evan Maluban. The Evan Maluban of the pot, the Evan Maluban of the sink are two different Evan Malubans. The Evan Maluban of the sink is it's supposed to be heating the water. The Evan Maluban over here is the problem is that you want to get the water to go over the top and still be boiling. So you need a stone which is hot enough that it will cause it to go over the top. Fill it up as far as you can. Put a stone and it'll go over the top. Meanwhile, while it's still boiling. So it's hot enough that it won't take away the heat. Whereas the Evan Maluban in the sink, you need it hot enough that you actually heat it up. I don't know, it's interesting thought, possibly. The other meaning is if you want to use a Pesach pot, so you can use a Pesach pot, you don't have to kasher beforehand, but the meaning is if you want to use the pot for Pesach afterwards, you have to kasher the pot. So you end up either way kashering the pot. The final etza is if, go out and buy a nice big pot and designate it as your kashering pot and write on it kashering pot and don't use it for anything else but Pesach, but just for kashering, and then you don't have to worry about kashering it beforehand. Yeah, that's a minute. Our minute is in case some chacham didn't do his job right when he kashered brought the things into kasher. So the minute is the kasher of the pot. Either you kasher the pot first, the kasher the pot second, or designate a pot. That's put down. Okay. You should let it before you kasher the item. It should be 24 hours about with that. 24 hours before. Without anything not being used for hot before you put it in. It should be dry when you put it in. You should make sure that when you put it in, if the water decreases from the boil, it should go back, it should stay in long enough that it goes back to a boil. Then you should take it out, and run it under cold water. If you can't get all of the item inside the pot at one time, Hagola as opposed to Tevila. Tefillah has to be all at one time. Immersion has to be a total immersion simultaneously. Hagola does not require that. You can do part of the Hagola, put one side in, turn around, do the other side, etc. The handle also has to be kosher. If it's a handle which is detachable, you should detach the handle, clean out underneath. If it's something which cannot be detached, so you at least make sure that you clean out as well as you can in a place where it joins the pot, whatever it is that you're kashering, you should clean out as best as possible, and the handle has to be immersed also. The Sharatin says you should leave it in for a little bit, give it time for the liquid to come out. It doesn't say how long that little bit is. They say a few seconds. Take it out. Once you're kashering your pot, or you're kashering your item, whatever you're kashering, you minig Ashkenazim is we do not kasher to change from milchus to fleishig or vice versa. We don't do that. Minig Sfardim is they do. Minig Ashkenazim they don't. But once you're kashering for a different reason, then you're allowed to switch it also. So once you're kashering for Pesach, as some service says, so even the Magen Rambam says we don't do from one to the other. But once you're kashering, you can make your pot milchus to fleishig to milchus. From fleishig to parav, milchus to parav is okay. Even stam when you're kashering, you could do that. During the year also, if your pot got vertreifed, and now you're kashering because it got vertreifed, then you're allowed to switch it also. In other words, we don't want a person doing the process of agola as a way to switch back and forth. That's what is intended, it's a problem. A person has a valid reason to do it otherwise, and he wants to switch, he can switch. You can do more than one keli at a time, as long as each one gets its own area around in the water. The water's around it, so you want to put a few pieces of flatware in. If you put a basket in, and you shake the basket around, so each one is clearly getting its own space, so you're okay. One eight, so they have him doing a few pieces of flatware. You tie them on with a string lightly, a few of them, one or the other, and you drip, you know, stop, let them down one by one into the water, you're okay. If you're using a tongs to hold it, you have to remember the place where you held it, use the tongs to hold it was not kosher. So you have to take it out, move the tongs to a different spot, and stick it back in, so the area where the tongs was originally should be kosher. You can do milchus and fleshes together at the same time, since it's not ben yomers. So you don't be marked with the dafka. You can do you can use a milch one, and the water goes in. The next one, piece was a fleshy pot going in, and that's not a problem. We items which we don't kosher besides plastic, kicheris we don't kosher. Glass arminig is the kosher. Pyrex is not considered glass for this purpose. Pyrex is considered like we're marked. It's considered like kicheris. Corel is considered like glass, but Pyrex is not. There's a clay-like substance in there, so we don it like Kicharis, and we're not to kosher it. Okay. Corel is like it's like glass. Corel is layered glass. It's done in such a way that it's Corel is like glass, Pyrex is not.